Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mama podcast, brought to you as always by the lovely Golding Accountancy, wearegolding.com. How are you? I hope you are good. This week, I actually recorded this episode a little while ago. I was hoping to get a few more stories to share, but unfortunately that hasn't really happened for one reason or another. But when, obviously the news broke about them banning abortion in some states in America, I, as many women and men, were very angered by this, and I felt the need to kind of share my story about my abortion, my choice of having a termination of a pregnancy that I did not want to carry through. And I know so many people who, for whatever reason, have not chosen to become a parent because it wasn't the right time for them. We do speak about this in the podcast, but it isn't anything to do with anyone else, and it isn't anyone's business, and you don't need a reason and you don't need to justify it. But I just felt like I wanted to share some stories, because I know some people still feel shame about it, or just to be more open about it, really, because it is such a common thing. So this is why I decided to do this podcast. If you obviously want to get in touch and discuss anything that we discuss, then please do. But yeah, I'll see you. And just trigger warning, this episode we do discuss sexual trauma and rape. So, you know, if you don't want to listen to it, then don't. But yeah, I'll see you in a bit.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Work.
But yeah, but it is nice to see you. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. I'm better than I was. How long is it ago now? It's like about 2 years ago or something.
It's got to be about 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, lots of changes, lots of kind of shifts. work-wise, and yeah, we moved house and COVID, and God, it was all a lot, wasn't it?
Are you still in France?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just moved. We were renting a flat and we bought a house.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is amazing. We got a garden, we got a dog. But yeah, just really kind of just, it's a lot of work, you know, in the whole move. And then my parents lost. So basically my parents were living in a house that belonged to my granddad in London. And when my granddad died, he left it to my uncle. Left everything to my uncle. And my uncle always said to my dad, like, you know, I'll leave you the house and don't worry. So my parents have been living there for about 12 years. And then my uncle died of COVID. And no one knew that he'd entered into a civil partnership. And so the house went to his partner, who didn't respect the agreement.
Fuck.
Yeah. So my parents, like, you know, basically had to move out, and it got sold from under them, and they're like in their 70s. So yeah, so it was fucking, and you know, and obviously inheritance for our family, right? It was like, you know, it was part of, so it was a whole thing. And so trying to navigate that in COVID.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Do you know, and from another country.
I think that happens a lot more than people realize. Yeah. But that's awful, isn't it, that you would, how could you turf out people in their 70s?
I know. And it's like, you know, they don't have any kids, there's no legacy. You know, I understand if they were protecting their legacy, you know, and they had a family unit, but they weren't. You know, my uncle, they were just, you know, just the two of them. And yeah, and so, and just the emotional impact from my dad, who kind of not only didn't get left anything first time round from his dad, and then to like be cut out by his brother, it's just like, so yeah, it's been a lot. And like being abroad and trying to manage all that and get them set up, you know, in a new space. And
yeah,
so yeah, COVID is just, yeah. But I'm all right. I'm good. Yeah.
You look well.
Oh, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, just same old, isn't it? I was talking. I'm glad I'm sober.
Yeah.
Because I think the last few years would have just been an absolute disaster. And funnily enough, I did a podcast very early this morning as well with a friend of mine who is also sober, and he was kind of telling me his story about, and like, he used to be live for the weekend, get out of his tree on Saturday night, recover by Wednesday, look forward again to the weekend. And he was saying about how now, because him and his partner's sober as well, and he said, we're like the boring couple. And I was like, but when you think about doing that every weekend, don't you think that's boring? Like, you get to live, don't you, and enjoy so much rather than just being completely numb to everything. And he was like, I do.
Yeah, it's just to do the same shit over and over again when you get wrecked, basically. And I was talking to a client about that this morning, of just like, you know, doing drugs and just like, just leaving the space, and you know, everyone's in the loo, and like, you're just like sat there waiting, you know. And that's as soon as that shift happens, it's like that the focus on connection's just not there. It's just like, and no one remembers anything anyway, you know. And I think for me it was like, I'm glad, like, now I can look back and be like, you know, we had fun, and thank fuck I made it through, because there was definitely some dangerous moments. But but also, I've done it enough.
Yeah. That's what for this guy, he said, I'll stop taking drugs a long time ago. And I was like, oh, why? He said, because I just had a really bad night. He did 9.5 pills in one night. I was just I've never done more than one. Like, I mean, one of my friends has done, I think her record was about 9, but I think that was over the space of like 24 hours, where I think with him, it was literally like, he used to do 3 in one go.
At the start of it,
I was just like, but he had like a bad experience and thought that he'd fucked himself forever. Because, you know, some people have a bad experience and then that's it, isn't it? They actually damage themselves. But luckily when he didn't, But he was like, that was it, you know. He was only in his early 20s as well. Mm-hmm. But I was just... Yeah. It's so... And I'm going to a festival tomorrow, which is... The last time I did drugs was at this festival, and I went a few years ago. And that was the first time I'd done drugs since I'd had the babies.
Mm.
And I was a bit like, oh, maybe I could... Because I've stopped drinking because I don't want to drink anymore. But I was like,
yeah.
And I can't really imagine taking drugs when you're not drinking. But like, I could do a pill maybe. But then I thought, no, because it's just, I know that I'll have a lovely time without it. And then I won't have to deal with the repercussions of it for the next few days, because it always takes me a few days, whatever I do, to get over it. And I was like, it's quite nice going that I'm just gonna go and
I did Latitudes. Yeah, I went to Latitudes for 3 days. Good? Yeah, I mean, like, I did have the realization the first night when I lay down, I was just like, I don't think I've ever tried to get to sleep at a festival before. It's really noisy. Like, I didn't really sleep, or just would lie down and pass out. So that the actual, like, lying there in my sleeping bag was like, shit, this is shit. Yeah. I'm never going to go to sleep. But other than that, yeah, it was great. And to be there with the kids and just to show them that you can have fun and listen to music and, like, you know, be in that space and not be pissed. And there was just so many parents that were like, you could see that they were just split in two. And, like, I get it. Like, if you want to go... just don't take the kids, do you know what I mean? It was like, either do one or the other, because I could just see they were like, they want to listen to music, and then the kids are tired, and everyone's had a few drinks, and everyone's just getting really kind of, you know, heightened, and it just doesn't sit well. And, you know, and I just didn't really mind. I was just like there for the kids, and like, what do you want to do, and just sort of wondered. I had no agenda of getting wrecked, basically.
We did Camp Bestival, and I always have the best time. I absolutely love it. But I've definitely noticed it's changed from when I first went. There's a lot more going on into the night. Whereas when I very first went, I think there was a silent disco and that was it. Do you know what I mean? But now it's like it's... But I think... I don't know whether that's because festivals stopped and it is just Camp Bestival now. Someone was telling me. I wasn't aware of that. But... And I suppose all the kids have grown up a bit, haven't they? Along with it. So, But, I mean, it was great for me because I could enjoy that. But there were a lot more people who were out of it than there was previously. Never that it felt inappropriate or dangerous or anything like that. It was all lovely and everyone was lovely and having a great time. But it just was a bit more like a normal festival rather than,
you know. Kids focus. Yeah.
So I found that quite interesting. But again, it's... I'm glad that I could just go and have a nice time. And then when I had enough, I was like, me and my eldest daughter, because my kids can stay up late. Some kids can't. Some kids have got to go to sleep. But my kids will just... They want to stay up. So I think my youngest one had gone to bed with my friend. And then Lola, who's 11, we were in the drum and bass bit just dancing and having a great old time until... I think it got to about 11... And I was a bit like, but then I get tired. It's like, I've done 30 million steps today. This isn't going to get, I think it gets to that point, doesn't it? And you know that it's not going to get any better.
Yeah.
And then when you've had, starting to have the third or fourth same conversation with your mates, it's, do you know what I mean? And it's like, do you know what? I've had enough.
Yeah, I'm done. I've had my fill. Yeah.
But I like that. And then being able to get up the next day and go, oh, I did yoga. I did things. Well,
that's it.
It's amazing. But,
like, you know, and it was that sort of stuff. Like, my son was like, oh, you know, let's go and swim in the lake and stuff like that. And I know in the past I just would have been too involved in, like, I would have been half pissed. I'd just be like, no, I'm going in the lake, whatever. And I was like, okay, then. I didn't have any swim stuff, so I went in my pants and bra, and I was just like, I literally don't give a shit, you know. So it was cool. It was different. But I'm glad. I thought festivals were completely off limits. And that made me really sad in the past. I just thought I'd never be able to do it. But I couldn't go, you know, with my friendship groups has really changed. And I I went with a sober friend. Like, I couldn't have gone with like those people. Not because I'd be triggered to do stuff. I just wouldn't have had fun. It would have been really like, I get too like heightened, like hypervigilance. I'm just like, oh my God, are you okay? Like, stop. Yeah. There's a child. Like, I just don't like it. You know, it's just too much. But, you know, and also like, I went to a wedding and everyone was getting wrecked a couple of years ago. And a friend of mine who hadn't smoked for like 9 years, like, was like really pissed and was like, oh, I'm going to smoke a cigarette. And I just lost it. Cause I work in, it's like, you know, I work in addiction. So I was just like, no, don't do it. Like, no, kind of thing. And everyone was just like, oh, chill out, Mandy. So I was like, yeah, I don't think this is the best place for me. You know, I just see too much of the wider picture of the impact, you know?
Yeah.
So, but anyway.
Oh, well, the reason I've asked you to come on today is to talk about abortion.
I know, I just said that to my husband. I was like, I'm just going to go and talk about abortion for a bit.
Yeah. So what is your story?
So I think we were connected about this, didn't we? Because kind of, and we were talking about this earlier, about the sort of frustration of having to explain, you know, and having to justify like that your situation was bad and, you know, and so you did it, and then people can kind of then it makes it okay or palatable. And so I just want to kind of caveat that, like, I 100%, you know, would have an abortion tomorrow if I felt like that was the right choice for me, you know. Even if there was no chaos, nothing to do with it, it's just your choice. Like, it's just, if you don't want to have a baby, just that should be our right.
Yes.
My experience, you know, was a little bit more traumatic, I suppose you could say. I don't know if we talked about this before when I was on the podcast, but I trigger warning, give people a moment that I am going to talk a little bit about sexual assault. So if this is something that you can't listen to right now, then, you know, please do just take a breather from the conversation. But I went traveling when I left, before I went to uni. So I was like 18, and I was traveling in Mexico, and I you know, I still don't know whether I was drugged or whether or not. But, you know, basically I got sexually assaulted quite violently by a group of men. They broke into the kind of little hut I was sleeping in on the beach. And at the time I didn't say anything to anyone. I just said to my mate that was there, like, I never want to talk about this ever again. And she kept that word, bless her, for about 10 years. And from that moment on, my kind of, we traveled around the world. Like, I don't remember much of anything. Like, I was in, you know, I was completely disassociated. And I didn't talk about it or kind of deal with that trauma until sort of 15, 20 years later. And so that year was just really chaotic. Like, when we got back from traveling, I was doing loads of drugs. I was really kind of, you know, sleeping with men. I had no respect for myself, for my body. I thought that it was my fault because, you know, I'd been leery and drunk, and, you know, maybe I had annoyed these guys, and that's why, you know, what happened. So I took it all in, you know, loads of shame. So basically I had loads of kind of different relationships and one night stands, and I was and it was the night, it was the bank holiday weekend before I went off to uni. And I was, you know, I basically just like had a one night stand with a mate of mine. Didn't use protection because, you know, I was 18, 19 or whatever, and didn't, 18, I guess, you know, was, there wasn't any, you know, we were wrecked.
Yeah.
And interestingly, I contributed to a book recently, and I wish I had it with me, but the way that they wrote this part of my story was so unbelievably shaming, because it was edited by someone else and it said something like, I didn't take care of myself or use the appropriate protection to protect myself from pregnancy or something. And I emailed them back and I was like, hang on a second, like, this is, there was someone else in this situation, you know, the man was not at all mentioned and it was just like all on me. And I was like, you know, there are two people that had sex, you know,
we
didn't, you know,
we
made a choice, we didn't use protection, you know. So anyway, and then it was the bank holiday afterwards, so nothing was open, so like I didn't go and get the morning after pill because I couldn't, because it was like the day. And then I moved to Brighton and then it was like settling into halls of residency, so it, like, I managed, I went and got like the morning after pill, I think it was like a day and a half later, didn't think anything of it, like thought it was fine, and then like didn't get my period, started to panic a little bit, went back to Stroud where I grew up and was kind of chatting with some mates and was just like, I haven't, you know, and my friend was like, oh, I've got a pregnancy test, so took it and was like, fuck, you know, fuck. And actually it was quite, you know, it was a good couple of months by that point as well, so I was like, shit, like, you know, I never told my parents what had happened to me in Mexico, like I'd really disconnected all of my kind of support from them, and then it was like, oh shit, I'm gonna have to tell my parents, who were actually away visiting my brother. I was like, you know, god, so I can't, can I, you know, it's like, can I sort this out on my own without having to tell anyone? But I couldn't, and so I went to the doctor, and my parents, we were in a like kind of, Stroud's a very hippie place. I had a kind of alternative, it was like an alternative health center. So they would prescribe sort of homeopathy and, you know, plant medicine over kind of sort of traditional chemical medication if they could. So I went in there and I remember it so distinctly. I went in there and my dad drove me, which was super embarrassing. And then like I went in on my own and I sat down and I was like, you know, I got myself into a situation, you know, I'm pregnant and I need to have, you know, I need to have an abortion. And she just looked, well, I'm really sorry. I don't agree with your decision and I can't support you, so you have to go to the hospital, you have to go elsewhere.
What?
Yeah, so I was like, holy fuck.
Are they allowed to do that?
I guess if it's against their kind of, you know, she gave me, so she was like, you know, you go here, you go to the, you know, the whatever it is, the clinic for, you know, whatever it is, the women's health clinic or whatever at the hospital, but I can't support you. So I was like, shit, you know. And I think this is why, I guess why these conversations are important, like, because I was fucked in terms of trauma anyway, like I mean obviously no one knew that, right? But I was like completely in a shame spiral about what had happened and I hated myself anyway, and then like then that was kind of thrown at me, and that was it, like I completely just the last little bit of sort of self love or compassion I had for myself was just eradicated. I was just like an utter piece of shit, and that's when my kind of drinking and my drug taking at that time really spiraled, because I was just like, I am like literally the worst, you know. My doctor thinks, you know, I'm a piece of shit.
Oh my God.
And I, you know, and I was like, I'm, you know, I'm killing my baby. I'm like the worst person, that, you know, and I, cause it hurt. Like I was not okay with the situation, but like, I also knew that it was 100% the thing that I needed to do. Yeah. Like I was 19, you know, I think I was 18 or 19, I guess 19. I just started university. I was in my first term of university. Just like, you know, I wasn't with the guy, like he had no interest. Where the fuck was he in this story, right? Yeah. He was actually in America, like getting it on with another girl who he emailed me by, sorry, actually, you know, I met someone else, you know, as I do, hands off. Yeah, so that was that really. And then I, you know, I unfortunately, by the time it came round, like I had to have, you know, proper medical intervention because it was quite late. So I had to have full anaesthetic. And yeah, it took me a really, really long time to get over it. Yeah. Just because I had no self-esteem, no self, you know, and I used to think about every year, I used to think about it up until I had kids, really. I'd just be like, I'd think about, you know, the age that baby would have been and stuff like that. And despite all of that, it still 100% was the right choice.
It's
like without any shadow of a doubt, like there was. And I think that's kind of important that people know. It's like it's not an either, right? It's like you can hold both. You can feel loss or sadness or there was never a regret. I never regretted it, but I had feelings about it because I always wanted to be a mum.
Yeah.
You know, and hormonally, like it takes a lot out of you. And I don't think they provide enough aftercare. And actually the people when I went and I had, you know, you have to do that little like psychological test, don't you? Around, are you ready for it or not? I don't know.
I can't really remember.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I was under, like I was quite young.
Yeah.
But they were really nice. But yeah, it was traumatic. You know, but it was just another layer, really. And bless my dad, like, you know, because I obviously my parents never knew what was going on for me for a really long time. And I remember my dad sort of taking me aside about 3 years ago or something, and he was like, you know, I just want to say, like, I'm really sorry that I didn't talk to you more about your abortion at the time, because I think it really impacted, didn't you? And I was just like, oh yeah, that was a little thing on top of all the other things. And then I was like, shit, I really need to fill you in on my life, you know. So I did actually tell them what happened quite soon.
Was that the first time that you told them? Wow.
Yeah, I actually told them that, it was about two years ago, I think. I can't remember, I'm shit with dates, but we were at the Club Soda Mindful Drinking Festival. It was the second time I spoke, I think, and I think trauma had come up in the conversation, and my dad sort of started telling me some stuff about his childhood which I didn't know. And then I was like, oh shit, like this is the moment. And I had been working on it with my therapist for quite a long time, like how could I do it, like, you know, in a letter or tell them face to face. So I had a bit of a script, but I think I was always really worried that they wouldn't react in the right way, and I was worried that it would hurt them.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to cause them pain.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was all right in the end. Yeah. But yeah. So yeah, so that's my my abortion story is kind of I've had a really difficult relationship with any holistic therapeutic help ever since, really. It was really interesting because Kate and I, we wrote a second book which comes out in September, and a lot of it is around kind of seasonal, you know, self-care and looking at moon cycles and all of that stuff, and it is really interesting and makes a lot of sense, especially with the female cycles. And but I had so much resistance anytime it touched on anything holistic. I was just like,
I can't believe that she said I don't agree with you. I wasn't aware that they could because but that's the whole thing, isn't it? It's not anything to do with anyone else. It's like, I don't want to do this, because it's such a massive thing to have a child is the biggest job you'll ever do, isn't it? And to not be able to choose whether you want to do that just because you got really unlucky when you had sex.
Yeah.
You know, it's like my friend who's going to, hopefully she's going to talk about hers as well, is she was on the pill and used condom.
Yeah.
And still got pregnant. It's just like she's the most fertile person in the world. You know, it's just.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's like, I mean, I'd say the majority of my friends have had an abortion. And, you know, for various different reasons, and some have had more than one. And also the impact on different women is very different.
Yeah.
But again, none of that negates the fact that it's 100% their choice was the right decision for them at the time.
And what you said about it being both, like, it's not an easy decision. No matter how much you know it's the right thing to do, it's still a shitty thing, because it's still that you're never 100% sure, are you? Do you know what I mean? There's still that little niggle of what would have happened, or should I, or, you know. So it's a real hard thing anyway. So the last thing you need is added pressure from other people who it doesn't affect.
Yeah.
Making you feel shit.
Yeah. And I did a post about it on, you know, on Instagram. And, you know, I had a few people come back at me with quite some, you know, nasty stuff. Funnily enough, all people in America. It's so toxic, that, you know, narrative around it. And it's just so emotive, the whole thing. Which is just really interesting, because it's my body.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
It's your baby. Like, that's the biggest joke, is in America, they don't give a fuck about their citizens, do they? As soon as you are born, you're on your own. So why are they so intent on making women have babies that they don't want, that no one's going to look after?
And that's the thing, it's like, you know, I was hugely, you know, traumatized. My nervous system was, you know, I work in the space of trauma now. Like, I understand, you know, attachment theory, I understand, you know, secure attachment that kids need, and intergenerational trauma, and how, you know, if I'm not okay as mum, you know, my kids are not going to necessarily, you know, be okay, and I need to do that rupture and repair for them, you know, all of that stuff. It was like, and I was a kid, even when I had my kids quite young, you know, I was 26 when I had my daughter. I thought I was old enough. I still don't think I was old enough at that time. Like, I was not. I made some really bad choices at that point, you know. And it's like, there's kids that just are growing up in such chaotic situations. And as you say, if you don't have a healthcare system that supports people, then what the fuck are you talking about?
Who pays for these babies then?
Yeah.
Are they giving people money to have the babies? Because it costs a lot of money to have a baby.
Yeah. I was reading something about childcare costs, you know, and just how disproportionate they are, and even that it just doesn't even make sense in terms of the amount of holiday that people get. You know, it's like something like kids get 13 weeks holiday and average UK parents get 4 or something. And it's just like it doesn't,
and it's worse in America. They don't even get maternity leave, do they, really? It's absolutely,
and you know, crazy. And I mean my abortion, when it, you know, that it would be illegal even before, like, it's illegal in a lot of countries to have an intervention at that point, like, you know. And so there was a whole element of that, you know, kind of developmentally with the kind of the fetus or whatever, the ball of cells, you know. But again, it's like, it was still the right choice.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, it's, and it was my choice. And it's, you know, and I, well, thank you for, you know, allowing me to tell my story and, no, and having this conversation, this conversation, because, you know, I think it was, yeah, there's a lot of shame still.
Yeah.
100%. There's a lot of women I know that don't talk about it or still feel so bad about what they did. And it's like, not only are we dealing with our own emotional, hormonal, because that's the whole thing, like our body was shifting at that time into a different hormonal space. That narrative within us of like self-shaming and, you know, not feeling good about ourselves and having to wrangle with that decision, but the whole fucking worldwide narrative to deal with at the same time.
I had an abortion late in life. Like, it was 5 years ago. It was 5 years ago around this time, I think, actually, because I'd been split up from my ex for 2 years, and it was I met someone and had sex, and we had sex again about a week after, and I got pregnant. So I was like, I've not had sex for 2 years. And the second time I have sex, I get pregnant. And it wasn't, I shouldn't have got pregnant. Like, it was very, very, very unlucky. But so when I got pregnant with my second daughter, I remember standing in the shower and the sickness came. I was really sick with my first. I was even worse with my second. I then got pregnant again, but miscarried it. I think I was 10 weeks or 12 weeks when I miscarried, but I was so ill. And I remember when I was pregnant the second time, I remember thinking, I can understand, because some people have abortions because they're so sick, don't they? They can't handle it. I was thinking, I mean, I wouldn't have chosen, because I wanted to have Juno, and I'm just going to have to get through it. But I thought, I can understand how some people are like, do you know what, I can't do this. So when I got pregnant this fourth time, I knew straight away, because I started feeling sick straight away. But I went, so when you said about when you went to the hospital, it reminded me actually. So I looked, because I was like, fuck, I was like, I can't, I mean, I couldn't, there was no way in the world I was keeping it. I didn't want any more kids. I literally, the guy that I was seeing, it wasn't going anywhere. This just wasn't what I wanted, do you know what I mean? So, but I made an appointment and went to the hospital, and I went to the wrong place because the information on the website was wrong, basically. And I got there and I was like looking around, and I asked someone, he was like, no, that clinic's been shut for about 2 years. They hadn't updated the website. But I was like, I've got an appointment. And I was thinking, I can't miss my appointment because I need to book this abortion, because I need to get rid of this thing that's making me so sick. But luckily the new clinic wasn't too far away, so I went there. But and they, I don't, like when you said about having the talk, I mean, I obviously they asked me questions, but I didn't feel like I was being interrogated, or I didn't feel, I don't know whether it's just because I'm older, I've got children, and you know, I don't know whether they felt like they didn't need to say that to me, or whether they didn't, I just can't remember. But anyway, I had a scan, and she just said, look, we can't see anything. We can't give you the tablets until we can actually see something. You're going to have to wait. And I was like, I can't wait, because I'm so sick. I can't look after the kids I have got. Like, I need to be. She said, we can't. She said, you have to wait. I can't remember now, because this was very, I was probably 2 weeks pregnant. Like, it was very early on. And I think I had to wait till 4 or 6 weeks. But I basically spent that time on the settee just feeling sick the whole time. I was really, really not well. But I got booked in for however later it was. And my mum took me. And I was a bit like, oh. But I had to tell them, because they had to come and help me look after the kids. I don't know if she told my dad, actually. But she knew. But, I mean, it was fine. Like, I'd got the pill. And then I think I had to take another pill 12 hours later or something. I can't
remember. I think so,
But I was really all right. Like, I wasn't, I don't, because I think they said it's going to be very painful, but it wasn't really that painful. And I don't remember. I bled a lot more when I had the miscarriage, I think, than when I had this a miscarriage, essentially, I guess. Do you know what I mean? But I knew that it had worked because I stopped feeling sick. Like, I knew when I lost the baby, because I went to the toilet, because I went to the toilet and I felt something. And I stopped feeling shit. And I was like, oh. And I went to the hospital and then they scanned me and they were like, oh, yeah, there's, you know, you've had a miscarriage kind of thing. But yeah, I knew that the abortion had worked because I stopped feeling shit.
Unbelievable, you know, yeah. Yeah,
because just that change in the hormones. But I don't think I told... I mean, I told my closest friends. I mean, it's not like you're going to walk around and just say, oh, hi, yeah, how are you? Yeah, great, I just had an abortion. You know, it's not like you want to advertise it. But I remember, I think it was... a girl that I follow on Instagram, is it Jamila? I'm so bad with names. She's quite outspoken about weight and beauty. Yeah.
Jamila Gavin.
Yes.
Jamila? Yeah.
And she kind of said, this was a while ago now, but it was like, women don't need to justify. You don't need to have an abortion because your life's in danger.
Jamila Jamil, that's it.
Yes, yeah. Or you've been raped or anything. You're just... you just don't want to have a baby. And I was like, yeah, like, I don't need to. Just didn't want to have another kid. I'm like, I'm not emotionally, I couldn't deal with that. I was still dealing with loads of shit from the fallout of my previous relationship. I didn't want to put that on my kids. We didn't want to have another kid. The father wasn't going to be around. Do you know what I mean? I was like, no, I'm in a place where I'm kind of starting to get on with my life now.
Mm.
Having a whole new person to look after. I was like, I don't want that.
But yeah, and I think that is the you know, like, trying to sort of understand it from an exterior point of view or patriarchal point of view, or, you know, there is that element of control, right? It's like, it's the one thing that cannot be controlled other than by a woman, unless you put in these laws and etc., because essentially there's, and you know, and I do know, we were talking about it before, isn't it, that, you know, for men it can be impactful, and that needs to be recognized. I mean, I remember when I thought I was pregnant after I'd had my two kids, and I said to my husband, I said, I'm not having another kid.
Yeah.
And he was quite taken aback and was just like, oh, like, you know, sort of, because it's different when you're in, you know, a loving partnership, right? And that you've already had the fruits of your labor. But again, it was, you know, but I would have fought for my choice. Like, I can't have a baby that you don't want on the base, but it's complex. It's complex because there's two people involved. But, and again, it's just like, and that's why we need to sort of just, it, rather than it going to extremes of being more morally loaded, it needs to be less and just normalized as a kind of, a basic human right of just like, I'm not just a container to create life.
Yeah.
I'm a human being.
Yeah. And it's your body, and you're the one that's going to have to do everything, and it's going to affect you. And pregnancy really fucks you up. Like, they don't tell you, do they? These things that go wrong or break and fall off, you know, it's like, until you've actually, and they're like, oh yeah, that happened to me when I was pregnant. It's like, why the fuck didn't anyone tell me? Like, it can be really awfully bad. And women die giving birth, don't they? It's like, if you don't have to put yourself through that unless you choose to become a mother. Just because you got pregnant, well, shit happens, doesn't it? It's not.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
For sharing.
Well, because I got a son, so it's interesting because he's growing up in quite a... he feels very affected by kind of toxic feminism, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, so he's got a lot of, like, feelings around, you know, things that he sees, that, you know, where it's like, who runs the world, girls? And he's like, that's not nice, you know, what about me, kind of, you know. So all of that, you know, girls club, all of that sort of stuff. And so we try to have a lot of talks around the wider implications, and like he understands in terms of, you know, trans rights and racism and stuff like that, but he just gets stuck on this bit. And something he often throws back is like, yeah, but I can't have a baby. And that's one of his like, yeah, but you get to have a baby, so.
Well, yeah.
And it's interesting, right? It's interesting that it can feel like that to them, of just like, I don't get to do that one thing.
But do you think that's maybe why we've always been oppressed? Because men have never got over the fact that actually... Yeah. We can do that and they can't.
Yeah. You know, and it's something that they can't control.
Yeah.
And, you know, and what is scary at the moment is there are these fucking, you know, horrendous, misogynistic cunts.
Yeah.
sharing stuff on TikTok and stuff like that. And it's feeding into that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I do think, kind of modern feminism and, needs to be conscious of the way that it is impacting that stuff on young boys, because it's like, look, you know, so I have to keep saying, it's like, it's not that girls think that they should be better, it's about being equal. But what he sees is like, oh yeah, girls are great, you know, girls do this, girls do that, you know, there's all these t-shirts in like shops about, you know, all this sort of positivity, and he's just like, what about me? You know, and he's a very sensitive boy, so it's like he's, you know, such a target to be like brainwashed into some incel fucking stuff. So
it's interesting, isn't it?
And then they've got all that, the porn stuff that's going on, you know, for boys. It's just like,
How old is he?
14.
Good luck.
Cheers.
I'm not looking forward to the teenage years. But it's hard. Whatever you've got is hard.
Yeah, Matilda, my daughter, she's nearly 16. So, and her, it's all around. Yeah, she's quite, she's a bit bigger. And I think it's partly protection. And she's very like woke and like, you know, but she has a lot of, they're just growing up in a world that is so full of noise.
Yeah.
And opinions and. Yeah. How old are your girls now?
8 and 11.
8 and 11, yeah.
Yeah. So the eldest one corrects me on my terminology a lot. I think I'm really liberal, and then I'll say something, she'll be like, Mum, you can't say that. And I'm just like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Becca.
All right, darling. All right, it's lovely seeing you. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi. So, yes, that was a lovely Mandy. As I said, if you want to get in touch about anything that we discussed, please do. If you want to share your story, please do. Get in touch with me. I'd love to talk to you. I feel very strongly about women's rights and women's health, and... as we said, you know, it really, you don't need to justify your reasons for not carrying on with a pregnancy if you don't want to. That, unfortunately, the danger that so many women are facing, like I discussed when I was really sick, like pregnancy can make you really sick. You know, if you don't want to do it and then raise a human being, that's okay. It's okay if you just don't want to raise a human being. It's really hard work having kids. They drive you mad. I mean, they're lovely, don't get me wrong, but you know, it's your choice, because it's your body and your baby, and it's not anything to do with anyone else, and that's the end of it. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed that or got something out of it. If you want to get in touch to have a go at me or shame me or Mandy for what we have been through, please do. I'd love to talk to you. because I have a lot of questions for you. But yeah, anyway, big love to you all. Stay safe, stay sane. Please subscribe to the podcast and share the podcast. I have some very good episodes coming up. I've done some very good episodes. It's just a good podcast, really, so get involved. Anyway, big love to you all, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.